I'm so glad you're here again to join me for another episode of Today Uncovered. Sit back, grab a drink, and join the conversation. So, hello everyone. It is so great to finally be back on here. Look, I'm telling you, it has been a hot minute and I am so sorry that I've been away for almost a year. Now, I am back with some amazing content as promised. And gosh, so much has happened since I was last here. Like, there's been COVID, a global pandemic. I mean, there's been BLM, there's everything. Like, the world is not the same place I left it. And we're just here to chat about some of these topics. Now, the most poignant one going on at the moment globally, and I'm sure many of you are probably already aware of this, is the uproar that's going on in Nigeria. And I have a friend, but also someone on the ground who's living through this time in Nigeria at the moment, and we're just here to discuss, and she's going to shine a bit more light on what's going on, and hopefully we're going to be able to find out how we can support efforts if possible. So just help me in welcoming my lovely friend Farida.
Hello Amy, really nice to be on here with you today.
Thanks for making time. I know it's been ages since we sat down to catch up, but then
it's been forever.
It has, and it's so nice to hear your voice. And I know this has also been pretty last minute. I know we're just chatting and I was like, actually, can I just have you on and can we just you know, hash it out, find out a bit more. So thanks for making time.
No worries at all.
Awesome. So Farida, can you just like introduce yourself to my listeners, where you from, what's your background, and yeah, we'll take it from there.
Okay, so it's pretty simple. My name is Farida. I'm 27, just a young Nigerian, and a lawyer as well.
Okay, yeah. And whereabouts are you based at the moment?
In Abuja. I live in Abuja.
Right, okay.
Nigeria.
Cool.
Federal Capital Territory.
Lovely. So yeah. I think that's the main, one of the main reasons, or, you know, some of the main reasons I wanted you on, obviously, and to highlight some, or I don't know, give a legal perspective or give us a legal take on what's going on. But also just being among that age group that's actually kind of protesting at the moment, not like physically they're protesting yourself, but you probably can relate with a lot of the sentiments that are being expressed.
Yes.
So, okay, that's great. Now, without much further ado, I think that the main thing that's been going on in Nigeria is the whole SARS
issue. Entire movement.
Exactly. What is the current climate in the whole country at the moment, Farida?
Okay, I would start by saying in Nigeria right now, in Abuja and all the other states, I would say there's just this general underlying hunger and poverty, and just people are really frustrated with the government, with the way they're handling things, with how the government seems to not have empathy for its people.
Right.
For example, the minimum wage, I think it's 30,000 naira. However, and that has stayed the way it is. However, we've had price increase in fuel, we've had a price hike in electricity tariff, we've had price hike in the price of consumables, bread, foodstuff, and things like that. However, the minimum wage is the way it is, so people, what you would normally afford to buy before, you can't afford to buy it now.
Wow.
Because your salary wouldn't be able to pay off for what you want to buy, bills, food, things like that.
Well,
so there's that, and then there's just this general unemployment. So many youths are unemployed, you graduate from university and then no jobs. There's the general lack of security. There's banditry in the north. So many people are being killed on a daily by armed bandits, and the government seems to not be doing much about that. There's Boko Haram, as you know, in the far north, Maiduguri states, killing people on a daily. There's recently there's been banditry kidnappings from on Kaduna Abuja Highway. So people that would normally take cars, even I used to drive, my parents and my siblings, we drive from Abuja to Kaduna. It's just 2 hour drive, not too far. Now nobody uses that route anymore.
Really?
Because nobody takes that route anymore because of the kidnappings.
Oh my gosh.
But now everyone uses a train. Takes a train to Kaduna. And these kidnappers, they're smart, these criminals. So they've started attacking the different train stops. Because there's no longer people using the
roads.
Road. So there's that. So there's just this general insecurity, poverty, frustration with the government. Nothing seems to be functioning the way it should be. So you can understand when this video came of someone, a boy, being shot by SARS operatives, you can understand how people are just looking for a medium to express their anger. Just as with America, with George Floyd. Just one, you know, there's so much happening in the background, and then people are just kind of looking for that one thing that would unite everyone to protest and, you know, really show the government that we're not happy with the way things are going.
Definitely. Wow. Okay.
So I think that's just the general climate is there's tension, and it's people are hungry. People are frustrated. I think the word is frustrated and angry at things. And so.
No, thanks for that. I think you've painted such a, like, intricate picture that a lot of us on this side, at least, and a lot of people who aren't living in it wouldn't have known all of this. So this didn't come out of anywhere, what I'm understanding.
No, that's the climate. So when you see people protesting really angry, it's not just end SARS. It's end corruption, end unemployment, end poverty, end hunger.
It's like things.
Yes, exactly. So it's not just end SARS. People are frustrated and they're uniting using the end SARS movement to express their frustration to the government. Yes.
Would you say it's as though people have reached a boiling point? Like
No, definitely. That is, people have reached a tipping point for sure. It's like no one wants to take it anymore. It's like, what's the worst that you can add onto this? Like, we are already struggling to pay bills. We're already struggling to feed ourselves. And now you're using SARS to kill us. Like, what's the worst that can happen again? You know, we've already had so many rights of ours being deprived. And now the right to life, you're trying to take that. That's people are at a tipping point.
Wow. Wow, that sounds pretty dire. I mean, yeah, like just to bring my listeners up to speed. So before I went on a quick break, you know, Today Uncovered was definitely about, you know, inspirational stories. But another aspect that we weren't able to uncover is really reporting on the unreported world, stories that you might not necessarily hear on mainstream media, right? But are equally important and affecting, you know, people day to day. And I think this is definitely what this interview is geared towards. I mean, I don't think we all knew that this was the extent to which things were going on in Nigeria. And I know you touched on the shooting that happened, which kind of caused this whole NSARS to erupt in 2020, because we do know that it has kind of happened
in the past,
exactly.
But it hasn't garnered this much attention, this much support
globally. So can you just shine a bit of light on that particular incident about this shooting? And then, yeah, just how did that, what happened, where did it happen? And
it happened in, I think, the very video that caused people to all come out in support of NSARS was the video of the boy that was shot in Ngeli in Delta State. And I think since that video came up, other people have posted their videos or their stories of their own encounters with SARS, you know, stopping and arresting them indiscriminately, shooting at them, stealing from them, bribing them, raping them. So many stories, not just that video. But since that video has come up, I don't know who shared it online. Someone recorded it. That's not, the video is very hazy.
What was that particular incident? Do you know?
There's not much. He had a car. I think he had an expensive car. He was stopped in front of a hotel or something like that. Or he was together with his friend. You can't really tell from the video. because you just see people crying, shouting. You can't really, the video isn't too clear, but the stories that have come up following the video is that I think he had an expensive car and the police were, the SARS were after him, because there's been so many reports that SARS have been profiling youths that appear rich or that have expensive cars, exotic cars, laptops, iPhones. They seem to profile those kind of people and they chase them. So I think he sort of fell under that kind of category and he was profiled by SARS, and I think he did not give up his possession, or he maybe didn't give them the answers. I don't know. The way they operate, we don't really know. What happened between him and them, I don't know. But he was shot because of that. You know, there wasn't any strong reason as to why he was killed by the police. So that was watched by people, and so many people shared sentiments, those kind of sentiments about SARS, because a lot of people have had bad experiences with the police, because even I personally, I'm scared of SARS. I see them once or twice, and I avoid routes where they have their stop and search, because they wear masks. They're not like your normal police. They wear black, and their face is covered in masks. So you see them, and your heart just sinks into your stomach. They look scary. They scare you when you see them. So I try to avoid wherever I know they are. They have their stop and search on the highway. I avoid those areas. I try not to drive myself there, because there's not any patterns what they would say or what they would do. You don't know. We never know what could happen. You could answer a question wrongly and you could be dead, you know? Or you could be humiliated or tortured. So I try to avoid places where they are.
I mean, from the stories we've been hearing and I've been hearing personally, that sounds like the wise thing to do, because it sounds like they're quite erratic, like what you're saying today.
They're very erratic. Like, it could be that maybe you didn't greet them properly. They could be, they stop you and you didn't say good afternoon, sir, or good morning, sir. And that could be the reason. That could be the reason why he's angry at you, or, you know.
Yeah.
So you just have to, if you're stopped by them, just give them their full respect. And I've never been stopped by them, but I've passed by them and they look scary. I've never been stopped. I've never had a personal encounter with them, but I do see them and I do pass by places where they are, but I try to avoid anywhere where they have their stop and search.
Wow. Now, I mean, like I said, some of the stories I've heard, you know, asking people to open their bank accounts and transfer money, just such extortion. I mean, why do you think that in the past the government hasn't actually followed through with disbanding them? Because was it in 2019? And I think previously as well, there have been calls and government...
It was in 2017, there was this petition that was open to people to sign up to disband their calls to ban SARS. I think the petition made its way to the House of Assembly and some Senate backed it up, but eventually it didn't have enough support to go through. So that was in 2017. It didn't have as much support as it does have now, because now we have more social media. People are more, lots of people rely on social media for their information, whereas before we didn't have that much, social media didn't have that much of an impact. Now you can, you know, get people to see your cause or hear your cause using social media. You don't have to rely on traditional media that doesn't really delve into things that I would say maybe are against the government or causes that don't really maybe, I don't know, fall in line with what their policies or what they want to cover. So now, because of social media, I think the NSAS movement was able to garner more support, because it's a new era. Things just have more support now using social media. You can get international community to recognize you using hashtags and not relying on traditional TV stations to, you know, answer your plight or show your plight or things like that.
Definitely, definitely. I think that's the power of this movement, like you said.
Yeah, it's mostly social media.
And just before we delve into, I think there might be some people who might not actually know what SARS stands for. So it's Special Anti-Robbery Squad.
Yeah, right? Special Anti-Robbery Squad. They were, I think, established in 92.
Yeah.
So with a mandate to, you know, stop armed robbery on the highways, deal with issues like car snatching, carjacking, kidnappings on the highways, cattle rustling. Mostly their mandate is on the road, the highway, kidnappings, car hijacking, armed robbery, crimes related with firearms. That's their mandate, to stop those kind of crimes, to apprehend those kind of people, to investigate and prosecute, like those kind of crimes. So I would say their mandate is a laudable mandate. It's just the way they go about things. Like, it's a laudable mandate to stop, to apprehend armed robbers and stop armed robbery. That's laudable. It's just the way they go about things, and they seem to have drifted away from their mandates of stopping armed robbery and car hijacking to just profiling youths and extorting them. They've drifted away from their legally given mandate.
I guess that's it, isn't it? Instead of fighting the criminals, they have themselves become criminals.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is unacceptable. I mean, where do you think things are going now? Like we've discussed, you know, there was a petition in 2017. There wasn't much power behind that. Now social media has helped. Now I know different international influencers are speaking on the issue. Where do you think things are going? Do you feel as though the government are responding? Because there seems to be a lot of disbelief, and rightly so, because I believe there have been a lot of unfulfilled promises from politicians. So there's a lot of trust there. What do you think? Do you think this is actually going to end? How do you think this will end? Are you hopeful?
I'm very hopeful. The government, since the End SARS movement started and people calling for the disbandment of SARS, the government has disbanded it, so it's now defunct. It's no, SARS is no longer in operation.
Do you believe that though? Because you see, I'm hearing different things from different people. Some people say you've told us that before,
yes, and a new unit has been established called SWAT, Special Weapons something.
Now the fear is that would just become
exactly new SARS. That's the fear. Everyone's just like, no, that's not you disbanding SARS, that's just you rebranding SARS. So that's the general feeling in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Like, it's just SARS rebranded.
And so what happens to all the SARS officers? I think that's a good question to ask. Like, are they just going to be moved to SWAT? Because then, indeed, it is just SARS rebranded. Or are they going to be brought to trial?
The government says they're still investigating. And when they're done with their investigations, we would know what they're going to do with the police officers that they're investigating. We don't know. It's not out there to the public who they're investigating, who they're prosecuting. We don't know. It's a statement has been given out saying that they would investigate cases of abuse, and the new SWAT units that's been created would be former deployed. It's just SARS, former SARS members being redeployed to those units. So I don't know. Are they going to have a retraining? Are they going to have, I don't know what's going to happen. Out there in the public, it just looks like it's just SARS rebranded, former SARS officials now being SWAT officials.
Now, from a legal perspective, what chance do those who've been, on the bad end of SARS have? What chance do they have in this investigation? Do you think their cases will be heard, especially if it's been committed, 5-10 years ago, where perhaps there was no social media? How much evidence are they able to garner? How much justice do you think people will be able to get if they've been victims of SARS in the past?
Well, I mean, they do have a right to prosecute or to seek compensation from government. everyone has a right to life in Nigeria. So victims, families of those who have been killed by SARS do have local standard, do have credible claim in court to seek compensation or seek justice or seek that those officials are prosecuted, they face the full wrath of the law. So you do have the victims who have a right to life enshrined by the Constitution. They do have a right to those that have been tortured or humiliated, do have a right to their dignity. That's, again, enshrined by the Constitution. Those protesters that have been arrested while they were engaged in peaceful protests do have rights to peaceful assembly and association. Again, that's enshrined by the Constitution. Now, whether that's in theory, in practice, they could go to court and sue for their rights. In theory. In practice, how successful that would be, I don't know. I can't really see. Because it's Nigeria. Yeah. Cases go on for forever, for 10 years, 20 years in courts. I don't know what tactics would be, because that's their cases against the government. And how do you expect judges or, you know, it's going to be difficult to prosecute against the police, because it's normally the police that prosecute. So now you're prosecuting against those that prosecute. It's going to be difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. I mean, but if they do have the support from civil society, from meaningful Nigerians willing to help, if you can get support and get funding for that, because everything in Nigeria is funding, is money. If you have the money to push your claim in court, it's possible. If they could get it's possible, it's not impossible, but it'll be hard, it'll be difficult. And
I like your honesty.
It'll be hard, to be honest, but if they have the funding and the backing from, but they do, NSAS is, now that it's out in the public, there's been so many huge public support, huge donations. So those kind of donations could be used to prosecute those officials that have been accused of abuse of power. And it could be used to help those victims achieve justice. So I think it's possible. It's possible just because NSAS now is global. It's gotten a lot of support. It's gotten a lot of funding. There's been so many people from so many different places funding NSAS. So it's possible. Ordinarily, maybe without the NSAS hashtag, NSAS movement, maybe it wouldn't have been possible, because these victims are people that are from the bottom of the pyramid, mostly. Because the elites, maybe if it happens to the elites, they're able to figure their way out in the system. But the victims we're talking about are people that are working class people in Nigeria, people from the bottom of the pyramid, people that have over the years not been served by the government, not been able to afford basic amenities of life. And you're talking about prosecuting, they wouldn't bother before in the past. But now, because of the NSAS movement and it being hugely funded by people and organizations and civil societies and foundations, it's possible.
Yeah. Now I'm going to pick up on something you said, because that takes me to another train of thought. You said this line of, it's not impossible, but difficult. Now that brings me to this talk of a new Nigeria. I know. Now I'm going to kind of touch on a few different topics here that you mentioned in the beginning. There've been reports of COVID-19 palliatives being stored up in warehouses. I think the most recent one I read about was in Kogi State. There's been what's happened in Lagos, in Lekki, is being known as the Lekki massacre. There's just a lot going on. Now for the whole COVID situation, and the whole way this whole Lekki thing is being handled, a lot of Nigerians I've spoken to are pointing to the issue or that word that always comes up that you mentioned at the very beginning, which is corruption. And they say it's just highlighting, all of this is just highlighting the intrinsic corruption that they are trying to fight against. And is there a possibility for a new Nigeria? Would you say there is, but it's difficult?
Wherever there's life, there's hope. So as long as we're living, as long as we're alive, there's always hope for a new Nigeria. It would be difficult. It wouldn't be a smooth sailing, but it's possible.
Where do you think it will start from?
Now we're seeing the youths and people just realizing that they have power. Whereas before, government would get away with so many things. Now they're not. It's not so easy. So already it's happening. Even though it's not 100% the way you want it to be, it's a journey and it's already started. Now people take the streets to peaceful protest and demand governments to be accountable to them. You can't just be in power and do what you like and serve your own self. No, we voted you and we have the power to take you out. We voted you and we have the power to demand accountability and demand things that we want, basic amenities in life. So I think it's already started. It's a new Nigeria. I think it's already started. Whoever you ask will tell you it's already started. A revolution is already on the way. It's already started. You know, just while this NSAS was happening, a government minister could not make his flight. It was a domestic flight. I don't know who he was flying to. But he couldn't make his flight because the protesters had blocked the main route leading to the airport. So that's power. People are beginning to realize that they do have power. So I would say it's already started. A new Nigeria has already started. It's not where it should be, but it's already started. The fact that people now realize that they have power within and in themselves is liberating. You know, people are now aware of their rights. You know, I have a right to life. I should demand this from my government. I have a right to. Police can't just stop me and harass me. And if I give an answer that's not suitable to them, or if I don't give them the respect they think they deserve, then I should be killed. No, I have a right to life. There's a way things, there are laws in place that regulate my interaction with them. They have rights as policemen, but I also have a right as an individual. So I think people are beginning to realize all these things. And also thanks to social media, that's also promoting things that otherwise be hidden, like I said earlier. Maybe mainstream media wouldn't show it now. Thanks to WhatsApp, thanks to Twitter, things that will be hidden before and kept under the carpet now out there in the open.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love what you're saying. It is the beginning of the new Nigeria.
It feels like it. Everyone feels that way. Even with when we're seeing the COVID palliatives, you know, people use, like I said, this NSAS isn't just NSAS, it's end corruption, end poverty, end mismanagement of funds, end maltreating people. So when this whole NSAS protest began and continued, you can see people, even though
the COVID palliatives
breaking into warehouses with taking stacks of rice, food that was meant to be distributed to the people at the time when Corona was hot, at the time when people needed that support, because you know, with Corona came the lockdowns and people weren't able to have access to their normal livelihoods. People weren't able to go to work. People weren't able to earn a source of income. There was this initiative by government to share palliatives, food to the masses. However, some governments, as you have seen with some states, stored them and did not really distribute these food stuff. So,
and it's amazing now the people are going in there marching, NSAS taking just what NSAS.
Those protesting for NSAS would say they're the peaceful protesters. They've demanded for change, even though it's not exactly what they wanted with the SARS and SWAT. They've demanded for change. They've kind of, they're still in dialogue with the government. We have end hunger. End hunger are breaking into warehouses and taking food out of warehouses. So it's NSAS, they're different layers and different kinds of interests and different kinds of groups and different kinds of people all in this bandwagon called NSAS. Those breaking into warehouses, I would say they're in poverty and hunger. And to be honest, you can't really blame them. They're hungry. People are hungry. People can't afford food. And they're hearing that their warehouses close by to them, stored to the brim.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you do?
And there's hunger around in town. So those, yeah. I would say that's not just, that's not NSAS. That's in poverty and hunger.
Rightly so. Rightly so. All right, Farida. So as we bring this conversation to an end, I mean, you've highlighted quite a few different issues, and I feel that I'm a bit more abreast of what's going on. I'm sure my listeners are grateful for your time as well. Where or how would you say we can support, obviously Nigerians in the diaspora, but the international community at large, African, you know, brothers and sisters and stuff like that. How would you say we can support from where we are? Because people across the world are seeing this. I'm enraged. I'm not Nigerian. I don't have to be Nigerian to be enraged like this. But we want to see change, because the way I see it, that could be me. Some of the things that are being done to different people, you know, that's my generation. That's the millennials. That's, you know, it's, it could be my friend. True. It could be anyone. So you stand up and you're like, okay, no, how can I help from far? What would you
There's
say?
There's so many ways
do?
People can help. For starters, I think even lending your voice is one. The way so many people, Nigerians, non-Nigerians, have lended their voice to the hashtag has helped draw attention to the plight of Nigerians, to the plight of those being attacked by SARS. So lending your voice to sharing the hashtag, supporting the movement, even through social media alone, but also donations as well. You could donate to help free those that have been paid bail bonds for those that have been protesters that have been arrested and put behind bars because they're protesting. You know, donations could help.
Where can people find that? Would that be on Just Give Insights?
There's this page. It's called Feminist Coalition on Instagram. I think they're, because I'm not on Twitter, but I think they should have a Twitter page as well. I think there are whole conveners and organizers of this NSAS.
I'll get those details from you, and then we'll put it underneath this post on social media so people can get behind that as well.
Well, also those two ways, I would say, because if you're far away, Nigerians in diaspora, or just generally international community, I would want to support is to help put pressure on the government. And you can do that since you're not in Nigeria on ground. You can do that by, you know, supporting the hashtag, sharing news, not sharing fake news. Because I've heard people, you know, and SARS, my friend, I have a friend, she's really part of the NSAS. She's gone to all the protests. Some of the protests there, all the protests, because they're different locations. When they were protesting Abuja, they were shutting down so many major roads. So they did divide into sections. She there was a particular one she kept going to every single day, some of the protests. What was I saying? I've lost my thoughts.
You're saying about your friend who's been to all the different protests.
Okay, yes, I was seeing how you can support. So since Nigerians in diaspora aren't there on ground, although I saw that those in diaspora also went to the different Nigerian high commissions to protest in front of the embassies.
Yeah.
That's also one way. Demanding change. It's, you know, when we stay united and, you know, consistent. It's not just NSAS now, it dies. You know, you do a protest for a week, 2 weeks, and it goes off. No, consistency. Keep following up on the progress. Yeah. Keep demanding change. Keep applying pressure onto governments. Because our governments are used to, you know, people coming out protesting for a week, 2 weeks, and it dies out, and that's it. And then you never hear of the hashtag, you know, you never hear of latest developments till another tragedy happens again. We don't want that to happen again. We want, you know, consistent pressure. And that could be just to keeping the hashtag alive, keeping it, checking up on the updates, if there's any updates. that page, I think the conveners, they're constantly updating people on what the government's doing and just coordinating.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, and we'll do that. Like I said, I'll get those details off you.
Because I'm not on Twitter, but they do have an Instagram handle, and they're on top of, they're the forefront of organizing all the protests. And
that will be helpful. Like you said, no fake news, so would like to hear from the legitimate sources. Now, Farida, any parting words? I mean, any parting words on whatever, obviously, if it was in to do with what we're talking about, but what would you like to leave my listeners with at the end of this wonderful conversation we've had?
I think just generally, I would say it's about the new Nigeria we're talking about, how I'm very confident that Nigerian youths, us and just general Nigerian youths, can make a difference. And as we have seen, us being united and keeping united fronts can, we've seen the power of unity. When you're united, irrespective of your tribe and your religion or your political affiliation, if we can stay united as a people to demand things from our government, because normally we have this culture in Africa where if it's something is not against your own tribe, you don't support it. If it's not someone from your region that has died, you don't care. If we can stay united as a people to stand up for one common goal and demand changes from our government, I think that would go a long way into improving and changing Nigeria for the better. Also, amazing. Violence is just never. Because we are having this discussion with my sister. When the protest started, it was peaceful protests. Everyone out there was legitimate. But as time went on, because the protests went on for a few more days, and it's still kind of ongoing in some states, but in Abuja, it went on for maybe a week or so. Initially, it started off as peaceful, but you know, we have other elements creeping into it and causing violence, havoc. I don't really subscribe to that, because we've seen that in the past with other countries of the world, like Syria, you know, things like this. When we say we demand change, we're not advocating for the government to crash or bloodshed, for anarchy and chaos to rule. No, you know, demand the way it started, like peaceful, you know, you apply so much pressure on government that they have no choice but to give you what you want. Peaceful protest, peaceful, everything should be peaceful. I don't like when it's, you know, let's bomb this, let's cause havoc here, all these unscrupulous individuals and people that have now creeped into the NSAS, because there's some NSAS people that have stopped protesting to allow these criminals or thugs that have infiltrated, because we've had all these under people from the underworld that have infiltrated it in order to achieve their own goals and aims, and that's not what NSAS is about. NSAS is about NSAS and corruption and legitimacy, not illegitimacy.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. Two things I take from that is unity and violence is not the way. Now,
yes,
on that note, I will say such thank a you, big Amy. Thank you. And thank you to you, my listeners, for tuning in. I hope you found yourselves leaving a bit more informed than you came in. Now, what are your thoughts on some of the issues we've just touched on? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Have you got anything to add? I mean, let us know your thoughts in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you. Have a lovely day and look forward to having you with us again on the next episode of Today Uncovered.